there's a ton of noise out there. So how do you get decision makers to pay attention to your brand? Start a podcast and invite your ideal clients to be guests on your show. Learn more at sweetfishmedia.com.
You're listening to B2B Growth, a daily podcast for B2B leaders. We've interviewed names you've probably heard before, like Gary Vaynerchuk and Simon Sinek, but you've probably never heard from the majority of our guests. That's because the bulk of our interviews aren't with professional speakers and authors. Most of our guests are in the trenches leading sales and marketing teams. They're implementing strategy. They're experimenting with tactics. They're building the fastest growing B2B companies in the world. My name is James Carberry. I'm the founder of Sweetfish Media, a podcast agency for B2B brands, and I'm also one of the co-hosts of this show. When we're not interviewing sales and marketing leaders, you'll hear stories from behind the scenes of our own business. We'll share the ups and downs of our journey as we attempt to take over the world. Just kidding. Well, maybe. Let's get into the show.
Welcome back to the B2B Growth Show. I'm your host for today's episode, Logan Lyles with Sweetfish Media. I'm joined today by Scott Gardner. He is the founder and CEO of Liquid Agency. Scott, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm great, Logan. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us, Scott. I'm excited to dive into today's topic. Before we do so, I would love for you to share a little bit of background with listeners. What have you been up to? What's your background? And what are you guys doing these days at Liquid Agency?
Yeah, great, Logan. Thank you. Yeah, my overall background, I'm a pretty much hard-cut entrepreneur, started businesses in college, and then started my first agency out of college, which I sold in 2000. And then I was fortunate enough to found Liquid about 18 years ago, and very, very much focused in the brand space. And we started with traditional brand strategy, identity, and developing design systems for the external audiences and customers. But as we've evolved over the years, we've rebranded actually ourselves in the last year in this concept, which we call a brand culture agency, and we're redefining what brand culture means.
Very interesting. Well, then you're the perfect guy to talk about this idea of brand culture today. Can you first, before we jump into some specifics, unpack that term for us? How do you guys define brand culture? How should B2B companies be thinking about this term?
Yeah, it's a great point, and it's something that I believe does need clarity because the definitions are changing and the market's moving rapidly around culture. I think if you look at an old brand model, it's really a thing of the past. And even as somebody, I'm a big lover of brands. I've been around brands. I live and eat brands. It's what I do. But it, you know, the whole idea of what we started was you'd advocate the creation of an external brand image to influence a customer. Mm-hmm. And in today's world, that's pretty much over. It's, you know, it's finished. It's dead. What we're seeing in the market today is people don't want to just buy into manufactured brand images anymore. They want to buy into greater meaning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you look at the evolution of kind of the marketing mix and how we did build brands, you know, first you marketed products and you went to features and benefits. And then the last probably 5 to 7 years, experience has been the big word. It's all about building brand experience at retail and, mm-hmm. and in any way you can engage your audience. But the next evolution that is really this core area around meaning. And we're seeing it across a number of business sectors and how people are engaging with the brands that they love.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about where you see this shift happening between the alignment of company values with both its employees and customers. It seems like that kind of rolls up into this concept of meaning, but it's not just brand to buyer. It's in both directions, right?
Right, for sure. I think that I remember, I've been doing this quite a while, and I remember, building brands with companies, and sometimes you'd meet with, you'd want to get the employees involved in the rebrand, and they'd say, oh, we already have an employer brand. And that was kind of a thing of the past. You have a brand, or you might have a house of brands, and your employees, you might message differently to your employees than you do to your prospects or your customers. But there's not, separate brands for the employees. They're part of the bigger ecosystem of your brand. In today's market, there's new methods to kind of figure out how to kind of create this circle of authenticity, which we're very passionate about.
Yeah. So what are some of the things you see, you know, as we were chatting offline beforehand, Scott, you mentioned, you know, you guys do work in the B2C space and in the B2B space, specifically in B2B. What are some of those methods you've seen as successful, or maybe some of the missteps where people aren't getting, you know, that circle right? They're not taking advantage of that consistent messaging or some of the things that you think could be effective for them?
Well, one of the things that you can look at in the market right now, and there's data all over about how employees are reacting to the employment situation they're in. Gallup just released a new survey, and they said only a third of global employees in their survey strongly agree with a statement that the mission of my organization makes me feel my job is important. And about 63% of the same people surveyed said it's very likely or somewhat likely they could find a job as good as the one they have. So we're dealing with a different type of employment economy than I think we've seen in ever, and especially in a while. And what it means is I think the employees are looking to work for brands that have a meaning beyond just making money. Mm-hmm. And they want to identify with that. And the customers and prospects are starting to look at that as well. So if you can get your entire ecosystem of brand aligned between your company, your employees, and your customers, that's the future of what we're calling brand culture. And that's where a circuit of authenticity is completed. And that is something that most companies have struggled with. Very much they live in silos, and HR talks to the employees, and marketers are responsible for the customer or the prospect, and somebody at corporate level is responsible for the brand and how it manifests itself. The key is to find a way to bridge the gap between all of these three axioms of the triangle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because more and more the employee experience is affecting the customer experience, right? Like even when you're looking at engaging, especially with a B2B brand, buyers might even be checking out Glassdoor to see what employees are saying about the company, not just their G2 crowd reviews, right?
Yes, for sure. And I've got my own feelings on Glassdoor. It's a interesting medium. I think there's some challenge that the challenge I think most employers find is that it's hard to get really happy, engaged employees who are busy to take time to go write a positive review about a company while they're mm-hmm. working at the company. They tend to write when they exit. But I do think beyond the Glassdoors of the world, you're seeing it with brands that run into challenges. You know, when Uber had all of its challenges about a year and a half ago and had kind of this whole unfortunate disclosure of some challenges with leadership and workplace ethics and behaviors, you know, some people started to maybe look at using an alternative for the first time, as opposed to being maybe a standard Uber customer. And, you know, we don't know yet the fallout of the Papa John's issue that we've seen in the press most of this year related to the NFL and the founder and some of the things that were said that really put that company in hot water. So when a big brand that's very visible has a challenge, what does it do to employees? What does it do to the customer set? And we do think there's a lot of connection alignment between all of that ecosystem.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you know, whatever medium we're getting the information from, there's more information about everything available at our fingertips about any brand, whether it's B2C, B2B, and that applies whether you're looking to work with a company, work for a company. And so that's the environment that we're living in, and it's continuing in that direction. So with all of that in mind, Scott, what are your thoughts on building a strong brand culture? How does that actually make a brand more profitable, especially in the B2B space?
Yeah, well, it's proven. There's a lot of data that if you look at kind of the net promoter metrics or other measurement systems, when a company can show that it has really strong brand culture, which has components of values, behavior, you know, rituals, cues, ways of working, there's multiple things that we break down in that. When a company has a higher ranking, they are much more likely to be more profitable than people in their space. So there is definitely business data that improves it. You know, again, going back to Gallup, they do talk about that if you could take that, you know, if only one third of global employees strongly agree that the mission of their and purpose of the organization makes them feel their job is important, if you can move that up to a 7 to 8, which is kind of a net promoter top of the ranking,
Right.
That all of a sudden you increase, decrease absenteeism 51%. If you have a manufacturing world, you have 64% less safety incidents. You got an increase in quality of 30%. And there's many other factors that just showcase that a happy, healthy workplace with people that feel they're part of something bigger than, again, making money will lead to a more successful company.
Today's growth story is all about search engine marketing. The company we're highlighting is Sentinel One. This challenger cybersecurity brand was set out to disrupt the endpoint protection space. Their brand was top-notch, their product was innovative, but they were struggling to gain traction online in an already developed industry. Then they found Directive Consulting, a B2B search marketing agency. Within the first quarter of working with Directive, Sentinel One was able to increase their organic traffic by 128%. And overall lead volume by an outstanding 251%. Now, I have a hunch that Directive can get these kind of results for you too. So head over to directiveconsulting.com and request a totally free custom proposal. That's directiveconsulting.com. All right, let's get back to this interview.
So if people listening to this, Scott, have bought into this idea, they see the factors that you're talking about, they understand the correlation between employee experience, customer experience, and ultimately profitability, what are some tactical takeaways that you would leave with folks? What would be your advice for 2019 to B2B leaders in this area, either things you and your agency have been helping clients do, or you've seen people in the B2B space do effectively to manage this reality? Because I think there's tons of evidence that it's here. What final thoughts and practical next steps would you want to leave with listeners today?
Well, I think the first thing you have to do is you have to find out if some organizations are more progressive than others, but you have to kind of find out where's your benchmark. What type of cultural health do we have at my company? And if it's very low, usually through some surveys and some other breakouts and some qualitative and quantitative research, you could start to determine maybe where the parts of the organization that are broken. And I think you have to, once you find out what those handful of things are, then you have to figure out a plan that you can use to start to impact the change. The first step often with a company is, a reassessment of corporate mission, vision, and values, right? Because employees do look at that. But in today's world, we feel that those are great things to have, and often they're great when they're posters on the wall, but they have to be lived. Mm-hmm. And the next step is then we've developed a methodology which we call ways of working, where these are helping people understand how to show up at work and how to work together. Values, I think, are things that, you hire people that you think share or can live your values, but there's still a way you have to show up in the workplace and be effective. And so it's that transition to the ways of working that is key.
Yeah. What are some of the things that you guys advocate for within the ways of working framework?
Well, I think when you look at ways of working, for example, if one of your values is teamwork and you have somebody that maybe shows up and gets through the filter, and then maybe one of your ways of working is this empathy and this agile and this, kind of team-based approach. If somebody's showing up as an individual, is solely interested in their own recognition, might not really fit. You can start to identify that between the value and then the way that they work. Mm-hmm. And you look at certain organizations like an REI, who's a very progressive employer, they work really uniquely there because their employees are also members of the company and their customers are. So there's a really, really close-knit ecosystem between leadership, the employees, and the customers. They're very, very well aligned.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think taking that next step into finding practical ways to evaluate and implement the values that you're espousing is very important. And going back to one of the things you initially said, Scott, that I think is worth reiterating is that, gone are the days when we can kind of fake it. We can put this, fictional brand out there, because what is there behind the curtain will be seen pretty quickly. So the best way to build build a brand that can't be torn down is with authenticity, which I know is a buzzword right now, but I wish I had had the quote pulled up from the founder of Patagonia. He basically said that, you know, writing fiction is actually harder than writing nonfiction. Building a brand based on who you actually are is actually easier. It's not only better, but it in a lot of ways is even easier. So I think this is a great message for folks here in 2019 as they seek to build a brand that'll last. Scott, anybody listening to this would like to follow up with you or stay connected or learn more about you and your team at Liquid Agency, what would be the best way for them to go about doing that?
Well, the best way is you can just go to our website at www.liquidagency.com. You can also follow us on LinkedIn. We have a community called Liquid Brand Exchange, which has healthy dialogue. And we're pretty active on social across our the typical owned media channels like Facebook and LinkedIn and Instagram, et cetera. So we are putting our content out there and trying to share a lot of ideas we have about how brands can really take advantage of this new era of brand culture and be successful.
I love it. And we'll also have a link in the show notes to a little piece that you recently wrote on what you learned in 2018. So thank you for sharing that and sharing your time with us today, Scott. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Yeah, great. Appreciate the invite, Logan, and wish you a best 2019 and looking forward to a great year.
Digital marketing agencies have a tough job. You have to stay on top of the latest marketing strategies for your clients and your agency. What if there was a way you could address both at the same time? Imagine your agency putting out content with greater quality and quantity. Envision bringing your clients a turnkey solution for one of B2B marketing's fastest growing media strategies, podcasting. You know all those clients asking for your help with their account-based marketing efforts? Picture being the first to bring them the idea of content-based networking, showing them the proven strategy for breaking into their most coveted accounts. Here's the concept. Sweetfish Media is looking to work with a limited number of innovative agencies interested in a new partnership model. We produce a podcast for your agency. You introduce the power of podcasting and Sweetfish services to your clients. Everybody wins. Learn more at sweetfishpartners.com.